This is I Nightingale, keeping you at home.
Hi, and welcome to I Nightingale, inspiring home care. Today, we're going to have a great show. We've got heaps of great guests and lots of fun things to do. We're going to talk about what to do to get out the house, because it's always good to get out and about and see what's going on in the world. We're going to have kitchen conversations with John Dangerfield from Beacon Support. He's been quite inspirational and seeing what he's doing with Beacon Support, so that'll be great to listen out to. We'll have my review, and it's quite a different review this week. It's not a product. It's actually a cool thing that you can go and do. We've got lunch break with Ronsley Vars, and we'll see what great food he's made this week. I made the zucchini and mince last week, and it took me about 10 minutes all up, so that was really good and quite tasty as well and so quick. And I just love the way the whole family eats it all, so that would be cool. Then we'll have a lounge room laugh, and I'll tell you a bit of a short story if we have some time, and then we'll let you go and enjoy your day. So stick with us, have a listen, and if you want to call in, you can call in as well. And also, if you want to drop us an email, just go to phil@inightingale.net and leave me an email there, and we can read them out for you as well.
This is I Nightingale, keeping you at home.
Welcome back to I Nightingale, and this is I Night News. So just before we get into the news, if you do want to call us on 3470 4646, and we're happy to take your call about anything to do with home care, that'd be awesome. So in the news today, I've spoke to Kari from Ageing Stronger, Living Longer program that's been held in Ipswich, and that we spoke about last week. And we got 40 people to the event last week, which is awesome. So that's 40 people trying to live longer and also get out the house and live stronger as well. So, and hopefully next week I'm going to be speaking to Councillor Sheila Ireland a bit more about what's going on with the program and how it got started and where people can go. So that would be awesome fun. So that was I Night News.
Get out the house.
Welcome back to I Nightingale, and this is Get Out the House. So I've been perusing the internet and seeing what's cool to do around town this week and get you out and about. I noticed at the 188 Studios on Friday night, there's a jazz night there, so that looks really good to do. And I don't mind a bit of a stroll around, so if staying up late at night's a bit too late for you and you want something to do on the day, the Robel Domain Markets, they're on the 30th of August at Springfield, and they host a variety of stalls and organic and free produce as well. And it's good to get out and meet people and smell the air and see what's going on. On the 30th also, Goodna Anglican Parish Spring Fair is on at St Albans Church, and they've got a giant slide, face painting, a few cake stores, which is always nice, and a bit of a raffle as well. So if you want to try your luck out there, that is always good fun to do. And then something that caught my eye was on the 31st of August at 188 Studios was Les Intouchables. Now, this is a movie that actually my business partner Nick really loves, and it's about an entrepreneur who becomes a quadriplegic. It's a French movie, and he's searching around for someone to care for him, and he meets this guy who's a bit of a con man, and he ends up being his carer and looking after him, and it's about their adventures together and all the cool stuff they get up to. Some of it's a bit naughty, but it's always great to watch. So it helped us inspire I Nightingale and prove that, you know, you can have a lot of fun being at home, and caring is a real good enjoyment and very rewarding experience. So if you want to get along to that, that will be on the 31st, and all tickets are $7 online or $10 at the door. So it's a really good movie. That's the Les Intouchables, at 188 Studios. So that's it for Get Out the House. So I hope you got some good ideas for this week to get you out and about. If not, just go for a walk, get out even to your letterbox and see what's happening in the world out around you.
Kitchen Conversations.
That was 20 Flight Rock by Eddie Cochran, and the last one was Blueberry Hill by Fats Domino. It's always a good song. Now on I Nightingale, we have Kitchen Conversations, and as I said at the top of the show, I've got John Dangerfield. He's been quite inspirational with helping us get off the ground and get going. So I'd like to welcome John to the line from Beaconsfield. Beacon Support, sorry. Sorry, John. How rude's that?
Hi, Phil. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, John, before we get going, what's your favourite board game?
That's a great question. Look, I have to think about that. The first one comes to mind is a board game from the 1980s called Poleconomy. And if you don't know, I think only about six of them were sold in Australia.
Yeah.
And it's a game about where you're the government and you can turn up and turn down interest rates and you can hold elections. And me being an election junkie, I just loved it.
Oh, my God.
Couldn't find anyone to play with, but I thought it was a real good game.
Maybe
after that, Trivial Pursuit.
We should have given that Poleconomy to the politicians now.
Well, there's some new people in the Senate, I think, that certainly appreciate understanding how it works.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Well, John, I just wanted to start with your mission statement.
Yep.
Like a beacon, we seek to see the shining light in people's lives, providing safe and enduring service, recognised by all as a leader in the field. Why did you start Beacon Support?
We started Beacon Support because Andrew, my business partner, and myself, we've got a background of working in and consulting to aged and disability care, and we saw a niche in the market, an opportunity to start a home care business, and we'd owned one previously, and time had moved on, so we started a new one, and it's something that we really enjoy, and we had plenty of time to think about if we're going to do this, how we're going to do it right. So we had a conversation and we worked out, you know, a vision statement that says, here we are, we're going to stand out and we'll either succeed by standing out or fail miserably by standing out.
Yeah.
And that's what beacons do. They're in dangerous waters and their light is a shining light. And that's really important to us.
That's good. Yeah, it's very... And especially with home care and relatives that don't know how to look after their family members, it's good that they've got somewhere to go.
Absolutely. And, you know, a little bit of what we do is people ring up absolutely lost about what do we do for mum or for dad or a family member. And we talk them through it, you know, and just give them opportunities and ideas about where they're at in, and how the industry can assist them and how to get into the industry from a service user's point of view.
Yeah, that's very important. So what's your role at Beacon Support, John?
Apart from being a company director, as in I own half of it, I'm the operations manager, and my job is to make sure that the standard of support, now note I'm using support, not care,
yep.
The standard of support that we're providing is of a consistent high quality. And because when a family member puts a loved one and trusts us to look after them, we've got to make sure that we're consistent in our support, that our staff show up, they do the job that's expected of them, and they don't hurt the client.
Yeah, that's very important because they're such a vulnerable side of the community.
They are. They're incredibly vulnerable from many points, from a physical, from financial, from emotional, all of those factors. And when we see stuff that says in our gut, hey, something's wrong here, we report it to authorities because we've got a duty to do that.
Yeah, exactly. And how many elderly people are cared for at home, just in Brisbane?
Oh, heaps. we ourselves, because we're an aged care provider and a disability provider, we do a bit of both. You asked me that question, I had to go through and do our count.
Yep.
There are many people hidden in the community that you won't see because they're being cared for at home.
Really?
Yeah, it's a hidden number because either the neighbours are doing a job or the organisations like ours or Blue Care or the Anglicans are popping by and dropping in and just helping people persist at home without without having to go into a retirement village or an aged care facility, because for some people that's just not an option.
Yeah. Oh, that's the trouble, is we can't put a number on how many people are actually at home that need care.
No, I think it's very difficult too, because care is a broad phrase, and to interpret it means everything from someone coming in and having a staff member there 24 hours a day, to someone ringing up, to as little as and someone ringing up and saying, "Hello, Beryl, have you taken your tablets this morning?"
Yes.
And Beryl says, "Oh, I'll go off and do that." And that's the range of care, from a phone call to full support.
Full support. And that's, yeah. Do you find getting staff easy? Is it like, how do you go about hiring people?
It's hard, Phil. If we've got a, you know, our organisation bases on casual staff, as a lot do, or permanent part-time for X number of hours per week. And if there's people out there listening who are saying, "How do I get into this?"
Yep.
Very simple. You need a Certificate 3. If you haven't got any degrees behind you, and I'm not being sarcastic there, you need a Certificate 3 in aged care or disability care. You need a clean police check, and in aged care, a state or federal government police check, federal police. And in disability world, you need a blue card and a yellow card. And one more thing, you need a first aid certificate that is current. They are the industry benchmarks of what we expect. So we know the calibre of the person, that they're safe, that they've learned the basic skills to be able to provide support, and then we can on-train them from there and add their skills on.
Oh, that's great. We have to go to a song now. John, are you right to hang around till we come back?
Sure, not a worry.
So I'm welcoming back John from Beacon Support. So, how are you going, John?
I'm doing well, thanks, Phil.
I've just been thinking, how do people know they need your service? Like, what indicators do people go, "Oh, I need some help now"? Because usually when I'll qualify that, because being an emergency nurse, I see people come in crisis. So they've either come in and fallen over and broken a bone, like I had a lady yesterday answer the door at 3 in the morning, tripped over, broke a wrist, went back to bed, don't know how, and called a daughter at 8 in the morning. And it's like, well, she needed the care like 5 hours ago.
Yeah. What we find is when the family structure or the support structure around someone just fails or is starting to teeter on failure, that's when people start looking and they go to, hooray for Google. They'll go to Google or they'll start talking to neighbours and friends and say, "What do we do?" Sometimes they go to the GP and the GP is good for a referral or for an information source, but other times I'll just go to Google and I'll ring up and you'll get this, "What the hell do we do?" type beg for help or advice. And or it's friend of a friend, who do you know? And then we get a call and organisations get calls that way.
So how do you steer them? So they've called in, they go, "What do I do? You know, I can't cope with Mum. She's been in bed 3 days. I can't get her out."
We're quite responsive and we'll come in quite quickly for a coffee and a chat or a talk on the phone if things are dire or urgent. And we'll come in and we'll sit down and we'll talk to the family and find out where the frustrations are as well as where the gaps in their support. Socially, it falls on to either the daughter of an elderly person or the daughter-in-law, whether they like the family or not, to become the primary carer.
Yes.
And if things are good and they have support, then they can organise things. Otherwise, they will take it upon themselves to work out what they can do. And we go in and we and organisations like us will say, "Look, we've got a minimum of 2 hours support. This is what we can provide, and this is how we do it, and most importantly, this is how much." Because some people, the problem is, Phil, some people don't want to spend their inheritance that they can see coming.
Oh,
so really? you've got that issue, that conundrum of, "I really need support, but I don't want to spend that money." And that's a hard one.
Yes, it sure is. You'd think it'd be a no-brainer, really, wouldn't you?
You would think so, but people have, you know, they've done the math and they've worked out what they're going to get and how they're going to spend it sometimes.
Before
it's even spent. Yep. And before the person's, before they've passed away, it's already worked out.
So, goodness. So, How do people find you, John, like if they need to?
Google's always wonderful, yeah. And we've got our website and we've got a phone number. Do you mind if I give the phone number?
Yeah, give it.
That would be lovely, yeah. Thank you. We are Brisbane-based, and our area is from South Brisbane up into Nambour, and our number is 3205-2150.
Cool. And what's your website address?
www.beaconsupport, one word, BEACON, support, not bacon, as some people have said,
yeah.
beaconsupport.com.au.
Oh, cool. No, because it is a vital service, and like you say, there is so many people that are just teetering on the edge of crisis, basically, and then hopefully they can reach out now and get some support.
Look, we're happy to talk and explain and... we're not gatekeepers, but we can explain if someone, you know, can't afford our services, and we understand that, how they can contact their GP and see what other services there are, community services available that will help for a little bit of money, and that can improve someone's life just no end, amazingly.
It is. So can you give us, the listeners, an inspiring story with regards to home care, or what makes you feel inspired?
Phil, we had a situation where I got an urgent phone call from a friend of mine who'd gone in to do some staff training at a new client's house. The lady was in hospital. She had a debilitating disease and couldn't communicate, but she had organised her own home care staff. Everyone was supposed to be there the day she got home, and no one showed up.
Oh, really?
Yep, and she had no plan whatsoever to go back to hospital, and so my friend who had arrived had been coordinated to go in and meet her for training of her staff, rang me and said, when can you get here? And I got there a couple of hours later and spoke to the lady and said, well, look, I'm here. I'll help you tonight. I'll stay tonight. And then we organised. It was a horrible night. Me, her five cats, her dog, and the 30 fleas.
So you stayed overnight with her?
I stayed overnight. And
oh, really?
We coordinated her care. I said, look, her specialist thankfully came and saw her in the morning and said, look, this isn't ready. We're happy to support you if you want us to support it. And she said, yes. So we sent her back to hospital for a week, got her house ready. And for the next 10 months, when she came home, our staff looked after her day and night, 24 hours a day, for 10 months. Good. And she had a style of life that she wanted. She wanted to be with her pets. She loved her pets. And so we provided support around her 24 hours a day for her pets and her. And when she passed away, she deteriorated very quickly and sadly passed away very fast. But it's a good thing at the same time.
Yeah.
And then when she passed away, we were asked then by the executor of her estate to organise her funeral and as well as help catch her pets. So that's exactly what we did. We spent the next 5 days chasing cats hiding under houses to make sure all those pets were secured, which we did.
Oh, gosh. And who did you give them to?
The RSPCA. They were wonderful in assisting us. The two of our staff, through the RSPCA, took one of the cats and the dog, beautiful pets. And then there were two cats left that just didn't want to be caught. So I spent hours trying to catch a cat that didn't want to be caught. And finally, I caught the damn thing.
Good stuff.
Good stuff.
Did you get the fleas as well?
We bombed that house more times than I'd like to mention.
That's awesome. That's cool.
So, home care provider can do many things.
That's good. Yes, and that's what I want to get out there is that, you know, you can stay at home and have a great quality of life still.
Yes.
And
for one of or two of our clients, I know I'm stretching the interview a little bit.
No, that's
all right. One or two of our clients, we're there on standby. Simply that. We've got a few clients that will ring us out of the blue and say, I need some support in a couple of days' time. Can you drop in? Can one of your staff drop in and provide that support? And we know them. We know what they need. And we go and do that. It doesn't have to be a regular gig, day in, day out. It can be once in a blue moon, just when the family need a little bit of a top-up of support.
Yeah. No, that's great. And because I get a few of those patients, especially like elderly parents with disabled kids.
Yes.
And, well, they're not kids, they're like in their
30s. No, they're adults. They're in their own right, absolutely.
But, like, mum and dad are in their 70s, still full-time carers.
Yeah.
And they're, like, crying out, hey, I can't get respite care. What? I need to get something.
Absolutely.
And that's when they need it, you know. It, it comes at them all of a sudden. They don't realise.
You know, Phil, my advice to the community at large, and I do talks to small groups and garden clubs and the like, is have the conversation sooner rather than later with your family. Not just dividing up the assets, but have that conversation about what we want in our elder years and as we deteriorate. And there's, you know, there's advanced power of attorney, advanced health directives and power of attorney forms that can be completed. So when it comes to the hard moments or days, it's very clear what the family are expected to do and what the elderly person or the disabled person wants, rather than this confusion and guilt that can spin around the community really badly, or a family, when thinking, oh, what does Dad want, or what does Mum want? What would they want us to do?
Yes.
Have that conversation when you can all talk, and, you know, then go to a solicitor and get it written down.
Get it all sorted.
Absolutely.
That one of my products I reviewed last week was a website called starttotalk.org.au,
yep.
And it's put on by the Alzheimer's Australia, and that's really good. It gives you the tips of how to start the conversation, because I think a lot of people struggle with starting it off like, hey, when I get older and I'm coming to the end of my life, this is what I want to happen.
Yep.
So it's giving them the guidance so they can do that. Just finally, John, what's one tip or piece of advice people can do right now at home?
Oh, that's a good question. Stay well. Eat well. Plenty of fibre.
Yeah.
Talk to your friends and neighbours and keep a social circle around you so you don't become isolated in your community. And if you've never met your neighbours, go and meet them. Because neighbours, when you fall down and you're by yourself, the neighbours are the person that's going to be the person there that might be the one picking you up or getting your help. Get to know your neighbours. You know, we used to have the Neighbourhood Watch program.
Yes.
And that was, you know, it's not the Mrs. Mangles checking on the neighbours for gossip's sake, but just looking after your neighbours and
Yes. Knowing
who they are.
Yeah.
Now, I used to live in a neighbourhood that I was the Mrs. Mangles and knew everyone's business. And then I moved, and now I'm just the standard neighbour who knows people on both sides to meet and greet and know when they're not there. And if something's wrong, go and knock on that front door and check on them.
And just make sure that, everyone's safe in the community.
You know, the tragic things that we hear on the radio or the TV every now and then, if someone has been dead for weeks, months or years, and no one's missed them.
Yes.
You know, that sounds like Eleanor Rigby and the Beatles all over again. We're not in contact with our community, and this is a chance, Phil, to re-establish our contact with our community.
That's great. Great advice, John, and it's so true, because loneliness is one of the biggest problems we've got.
It is. It's crushing.
It is. Well, John, that's about time for our interview. Thank you so much. We really appreciate your time for coming on.
And it's been my pleasure.
Giving us that words of wisdom, bit of gold there. That was awesome. So you have a great day, and I'll have in my show notes after this, I'll have a link to your website and your phone number and stuff like that.
Beacon Support. Thank you, Phil.
Beacon
I appreciate
support.
The opportunity.
No troubles, John. Take care and have a great day.
You too, mate. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was John Dangerfield from Beacon Support, and I'll have it in my show notes where you can find more details. But if you are struggling at home and you're thinking, oh, I'm not coping, there are people out there. Have a look at Google to start with, but, you know, have a look in your local area for community groups, and even start with HAC, Home and Community Care, because that will help you out a lot.
Lessons from the study.
Welcome back to Our Nightingale, and this is Lessons from the Study. Today, like I said at the intro, I've got something really cool. This is if you like reading, and a lot of people love a bit of a good book, this is a great blog I've come across. It is by Adele Horin. It's Adele Horin, and she has written a blog called Coming of Age. Now, this blog, she puts it out about every week, and it's really insightful how she perceives, like, coming of age. So, like, this week's episode is Help Wanted, Older Workers Please Apply. And basically she's saying that, you know, even if we are getting older, you're still quite employable and there's a lot of great skills out there. So she does provide that sort of good stuff. A bit about Adele is she's worked as a journalist for the Sydney Morning Herald And she did that for about 18 years. And now, as her kids and things have got older and she's having a look back on life, she's realised that, you know, there's a lot of things that need to be discussed and a lot of topics out there that need to be, you know, brought to everyone's attention. So that's why I really like it. And I read it every week. She has really good things on, like, retirement and she hits the controversial issues like, you know, too many people dying in pain, which is true, and also rights for elderly people. So if you want a good read, there's heaps of stuff to read. It'll probably take you a week to read it all if you read it solid back-to-back. Go to Adele Horin, so it's adelehorin.com.au, and she'll subscribe to her list. It's free, and she'll email you a copy of her blog every week, which is really cool to do. When you see me strutting
in the barnyard, you wouldn't think I have the best of life. Lunch break.
Welcome back to I Nightingale. And this is a lunch break where we've all got grumbly tummies, and I've got Ronsley Vars from Bond Appetit back on. G'day, Ronsley. How are you, buddy?
Good. Feel yourself?
Oh, I've been really busy this week, so with a lot of work. So,
what's been happening?
Well, working in emergency all week, so covering.
Yeah.
Like I do 12.5-hour shifts, so I try and cram in about 3 or 4 at a time, bang them
That's
all
crazy.
Out. Yeah, and then I try and do I Nightingale stuff, which is another 14-hour days. Yeah, it's all crazy.
Too live with an entrepreneur.
Yeah, yeah, it's awesome. But I tell you what, your 10-minute meals are awesome.
Really? How did the zucchini work?
Oh, it was perfect. I was just saying at the start of the show, I banged them up. I went home, got a zucchini, spooned them out, got last night's spaghetti mince, put them in, put a bit of cheese on top, and put them in the oven, and within 10 minutes, beautiful. And I tell you what, the kids, I can't believe how the kids just demolish it. Like, I get a mouthful, and they scoff the rest. It's amazing. So it's
awesome.
Really good. Really good. So how have you been, Ronsley?
Yeah, mate. I cooked for a 50th birthday party on the weekend, and she wanted a Cinderella-themed menu.
Yeah.
So she had 8 courses, all based on the Cinderella theme, something I've never done before. It was quite fantastic. It was in Toowoomba, and it was awesome. Turned out really well. Yeah, pretty good.
Did you get any ingredients from that chocolate cottage up there?
Chocolate cottage up there? No, I didn't.
Yeah. Oh, it's got beautiful cottage out near Highfields, and they make all these chocolate desserts and stuff.
Oh, mate, no, I actually had a bit of a temperature running into Toowoomba until yesterday. So I was a bit under the weather.
Oh, really? Hey, you coming good now?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty good because I didn't actually get any coughing or you know, runny noses or anything like that. But I think just a bit of, maybe I needed just a bit of rest.
Just, yeah. Sometimes we don't realise you need to take a break. So everyone's got grumbly tummies today. What have you going to serve us up for lunch?
Well, what do you reckon, Phil? Like, what do you think? Do you think it's got to be gluten-free? Do you think it's got to be dairy-free?
How about dairy-free? Dairy-free.
Dairy-free. So does that mean no yogurt?
No yogurt. No yogurt. Nothing from an animal.
Nothing from an animal.
That is dairy related. How's that? Is that tricky enough?
Yeah, why not? Why not? So if you get some cherry tomatoes,
yeah,
and cut them in half and just keep them aside, and actually get a pan going before you start everything. So get a pan on the fire, get a pan going, slice some mushrooms. And when the pan's hot, you put a bit of oil and you start sautéing or frying the mushrooms.
Well, can I just ask, what sort of oil do you use? Because I get a lot of conflicting reports about what oil to use.
Well, I use olive oil.
Olive oil, okay.
But it doesn't necessarily... I think what has happened is because canola oil is not being produced the way it is meant to be produced, that it started getting a bad rap. Because of the soy and stuff involved in it. So, I think that's the big problem with canola oil. But I use olive oil, and it's just a little dash, and you get your mushrooms in there. After your mushrooms, while your mushrooms are going, you're cutting your tomatoes, and you get one red onion, and you chop that onion really fine, and you put that into a bowl with some with the chopped tomatoes, and half a bunch of coriander, again chopped fine. Yep. So by that time, your mushrooms will be ready. You switch off the gas, and you put the pan aside so it's still not on the fire.
Yeah.
And you sprinkle this bowl that you have your coriander, your onion, and your tomato with some lime, and you put some pepper and salt. You mix it all up. You add your mushroom to it, and you have a really good salsa mushroom salad.
That's all. Yes. I'll be cooking that up this afternoon. So that's cool. Oh, that's an amazing recipe. How long should it take for that one?
Mate, it shouldn't take more than, I keep saying 5 minutes, but let's go 7 minutes today.
7 minutes.
I'm assuming it shouldn't take more than 7 minutes.
Yeah, but I've got to learn how to chop an onion, don't I?
Well, you just hold the knife and just do what you can.
You can make it as small as, without my fingers.
Yeah, without your fingers, and make sure you have your knife should be sharp as well. So the sharper the knife, the less you cry.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great tip. Well, there you go. You heard it first here.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ronzi. That was great.
Cheers, mate. Cheers. Not a problem.
Thank you very much. So that was Ronzi's great recipe. Thanks for that, mate. So what do you call it? A mushroom salsa?
Mate, I just made it up. So we can call it what you want. You can call it I Nightingale Mushroom Salsa.
There you go. And where will we find the recipe?
You re-listen to the show, I think.
Righto. Thanks, mate. So, and we'll catch you next week for another great recipe.
Yeah, cheers, mate. No problem.
Thanks, Ronzi.
Yeah, mate.
Thanks. Take care, buddy.
Bye.
That was Ronzi from Bond Appetit with another great lunchtime recipe, and I'll be trying to whip that up this afternoon. Welcome back to iNightingale. Now the weather for today, it's a maximum of 23 degrees, cloudy, showers developing during the morning with a chance of a thunderstorm from the late morning, light winds, and the current temperature is 21 and it feels like 20. So that's the weather.
You've been listening to iNightingale, keeping you at home.
Welcome back to iNightingale. Well, thanks for everyone for listening to another great show. We've had some awesome guests on today. We had John Dangerfield from Beacon Support giving us some good tips and advice of what to do with home care. We had Ronzi Vaz from Bond Appetit giving us another lunchtime recipe that I'm going to go out and have a crack at. And I'll try and video it this time again and see if I can do it in 7 minutes. So that'll be fun. And just from me, just everyone keep safe this week and have a good weekend. And remember the movie Les Intouchables at 188 Studio. That's really good to watch. It really hits a chord with us. So take care and we'll listen to you next week. And thanks from iNightingale. My name's Phil, here to help you care. Bye-bye for now.